Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 4. Verse 18. As Jesus was walking by beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him.
This will be our main teaching text today, so keep your finger there as we turn to Romans 10:10. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Thank you.
Last week we explored God's story, the greatest story ever told. We heard Jesus' words to the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee as he said, "Come, follow me." And after that personal invitation, we listened to the disciples' story, although very briefly, as they what? They immediately followed Jesus. And as we listen to people share their faith stories, we each will hear your story, our story, where we see that God's big idea is that he draws near to us as his people to be with us. It is powerful and it's vast and anchored in love that the Lord draws us to himself. And so this morning, I have felt God drop into my spirit what we're going to call the witness stand. And four different people of our church are going to come up and they're going to talk with you about their story, their encounter with the powerful God, Jesus in the flesh, as he came to each one of them and said, "Come, follow me." If God has previously asked you to follow him, I'm going to invite you today to listen carefully for your story as hidden inside of their stories. Because today the Holy Spirit is calling you, the Holy Spirit is calling me to our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ and to recommit our lives, that the Holy Spirit will grow our roots deep. Wow. Wow. The banner that waves over the sanctuary today is, "Come, follow me." Join me as we pray. Oh Lord, we stand before you as humble people who don't feel like we're good enough, people who get it wrong, people who don't have all the understanding and the wisdom, but by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, you move in us and through us as your people of God. It isn't what we know, it's who you are. And so today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for who you are, that you are the God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You are the God who has chosen us. You are the God who has anointed us, and you are the God who has forgiven us, God, redeemed us, Lord, given us an inheritance that we are your children. And so today we listen to our brothers and our sister in Christ as they tell us their story. The story of you, Lord Jesus, moving in and through them, with them, and for them. As we pray today, we worship you. As we're in the worship service, we worship you. We bow before you because you are the God Most High. It is in your name that we seek you today. And all God's people said, Amen. Would the four of you please come up? Freddie, I think that we'll start with you. When we ran the shelter, Freddie worked steadfastly. Come on up here to the up here. When we ran the shelter, Freddie worked steadfastly. Didn't miss a shift. Didn't work a night. Miss a morning, as he would show up at 7 a.m. and help to usher the women from the building. And his godly presence, the workers in the shelter got so that they counted on his presence with them. Would you tell us just briefly about who you used to be and how Jesus met you and how your life was changed?
Wow. I mean,
I know.
I mean, that's for me because I came up a very illiterate background, abusive family. I didn't know how to read much.
Can you speak to the mic?
And so that when I was in prison, the first thing I picked up was a Bible. And I didn't comprehend what was going on in the Bible, so I prayed at night and asked God, this Bible is in my cell for some reason. What is it that you want me to know about this Bible? And as I started my journey through the Bible, at 6 months, I was reading the Bible, reading words that I never thought I'd be able to pronounce. And so I had a deep need to know more of what God has for me and where I needed to know. And I think the Spirit was just pulling me to saying, hey, come, I have something great for you. And so as I was reading, I found my place saying, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be able to reach out to help those who are around me and to share my faith with them and open up to them and share what type of joy that I received by knowing Jesus. And so my journey began. It always never been easy because Satan stands right there with him. You know, when once you start worshiping God, the Satan get mad and he start throwing things at you to discourage you. He start throwing things at you to discourage you, to get you back where he wants you to be, back into this worldly life of sin, just sin, regardless of what it was. But I knew that God has a purpose. I never gave up, you know, even through those tough times of struggle, because I wanted to share what God has done for my life and where he's about to take me. And I continue on to worship.
Praise the Lord. How has your life changed? Can you give us one tangible understanding?
And it's been a blessing. My eyes has been opened to a wonderful new world. You know, it changed to reach out and to see the truth and what's going on in the world, even with myself. You know, it's always going to be a battle. It's an uphill battle. But I know that, you know, the song said, God, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb. I believe that he always gave me the strength to climb that mountain that I can't climb by myself.
I'm aware in my conversations with you that you have particularly talked about children and where you see behavior going on and you feel compelled within your spirit to correct behavior. Can you say a few more words about that and how you gingerly but expertly move into those kinds of conversations?
It's kind of a difficult conversation to have with a child that you see is being misled. Only thing you can do is encourage them and tell them that, hey, you are important. You're loved. You don't have to go this way. You can go that way. I mean, it's this hard thing to do, but you can only pray and ask God to watch over your children and guide them to a safe place when they lead into a place to where it's going to cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. So. And how do you keep yourself grounded in Jesus?
Well, I take time for myself in Christ and step away and just like self-care and get off and isolate for a while. Ain't nothing wrong with being a little selfish when you just step away and say, okay, now I need self-care. Mm-hmm. I need to take care of myself. I don't want to be dragged too far out where I'm not taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to be a healthy person if I do that.
You modeled that to us, Freddie, as you worked with the shelter. As you would say, I need to withdraw.
Yeah.
I need to have quiet time with the Lord. and you would step out of the busyness and that franticness of needing to serve other people to go, you and Jesus.
Right. Yeah, Jesus gave us a prime example when he was with the 12 disciples. He kind of stepped away and said, hey, don't go to sleep, be watchful, I need time. And he would go off to the Father and have, that was his quiet time. That was his time where he just separated himself from the world to be with his Father. So he set a prime example for us to follow.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
This is a blessing for me to be where I'm at now today compared to where I was. You know, I don't want to turn that clock back.
Don't want to turn that clock back. But would it be fair that you came to share your testimony today with some fear and trembling?
Yes.
So tell us about that. But look at them as you talk to them.
When you're about to share, you have that Satan like to throw that distraction in, you know, that fear and that doubt. And so you have to recognize that's him, you know. And if I could step out of that knowing that he'll lose, and share my faith and have faith that I'm stepping out in faith, then you'd have no way.
Thank you, Freddie, for coming today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You know, as we gather in the sanctuary, we look around and we say it's the people of Elam. These are the disciples of Elam. And as I ask Carlson and Linus to read the scripture today, I ask my brothers in Christ, I ask disciples, would you please come bring us the word of God? So this is Carlos Martinez. Yes, he's our Carlos. He works in the church office with the administrative work, but he also does the graphic design. So would you step to the mic, speak to them, don't look at me, and tell them, who were you before you encountered Christ, and what happened in your spirit that you were aware that Jesus was saying, Carlos, come, follow me?
Yeah, my journey to faith was one of being at an all-time low and then reaching out to God. I suppose it came time in my life where I realized that my path would lead to one of destruction, would lead to one of separation from people, where I was putting myself in this place of wanting to attack humanity in a lot of ways. But I stopped myself. I sought out God. Now, God had always been a part of my life, but he had been a very small part. I knew he existed, but it wasn't like he meant anything. And that path that I took in life kind of took me into a place where I didn't have any sort of focus or any sort of ambition to continue to search for him. Instead, it just kind of led me into a place where I found myself in addiction, in heartbreak, in destructive attitudes towards other people. And then I reached out to, I remembered there's God. Like, I remember learning about him when I was a child. And so I kind of had this moment where I was just sitting there on my bed, and in my heart I was probably in a pit. But I reached out and I said, Lord, like, help me, you know, like, what am I going to do? And if I keep on heading in this path, it's going to separate me from everybody I know, everybody I love, and it's going to set me apart from humanity in the worst way I can. So at that moment, there was this, like, I heard about it in, like, you know, like in different stories and stuff, where people have these, like, kind of like cliche moments of, like, oh, you know, like, I prayed and then all of a sudden God, like, washed over me. But weirdly enough, that's exactly what happened. It was this moment of absolute peace, absolute clarity, understanding of the direction I needed to take in my life, where my heart opened up. And before, I would look at people, and my mind would race to every single thing wrong about them. I would look up every single detail I could about their figure, about their person, about their personality, trying to tear them down in order to build myself up in this, like, pitiful sort of fragile ego I had invented for myself. And now, the next day, literally right away, and it's kind of been on that, I started feeling my spirit, like, look for the good in these people, look for the beauty in all these people. And all of a sudden, I started seeing people through this lens of, like, of, wow, like, you are brilliant, you are beautiful, like, and I never realized this before. All of a sudden, seeing these beautiful pieces of, you know, flawed humans that were like, it just made my spirit full. And addictions that I had before, things that were taking up my life, I stopped them. It just happened. I didn't know cravings, no anything. It just happened. And it was just weird, and I was like praising the Lord this whole time. I was like, wait, God, like this is, and I thought at first, I was like, nah, this is like, this seems kind of, like I said before, cliche. You know, it's this thing that like doesn't happen to people. It's not like this actual moment of like, and then I realized I've come to Christ now. I started sharing the gospel with my friends. Now I don't have those friends. but that was good. That was so good. Because I realized I was a product of my peers. I was a product of these people in my life. Terrible people that I had seen as like, you're who I want to be. But in fact, these people were just also digging themselves into this shallow sort of understanding of life and reality. I started having these revelations. Like, I started looking towards the Bible. I started reading. I'm not a big reader. I'm actually pretty bad at reading. But at the same time, suddenly, my mind, I wanted to pick up my Bible. Like, and so, ever since then, I've been able to look back at that moment of really being broken down to the bottom of my person and being lifted up.
Amen.
And that was truly the Lord. I can't imagine anything other than that. So, and I started running for God. Like I said, it lost me some friends, but that's okay, because in turn I gained some of the most like wonderful people that I ever had. I never would have met otherwise. I ended up searching out and seeking these influences that
would,
and wonderful things.
Drop to a close, please.
But that's it. Yeah.
Thank you. What I heard, go ahead and come up, Brandon. What I heard Carlos saying is that he was at the bottom of a pit and he looks up and his one word prayer, guys, remember what it is? Help. Help. And yet when I'm in the office and we do 12 o'clock prayer, Carlos is always in there. When we go out on the road again to take prayer out to the people in our Elam community who need prayer, Carlos is there with us and he's praying with us. And so it shows me that God has done a work in you of deepening and broadening that one word prayer into a different kind of cry of your heart. Thank you. So step on up, Brandon.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to start off by saying praise God. Carlos has been such a blessing and encouragement in my life.
Do they look alike? Can you tell they're brothers?
He's just, I mean, Elam, you probably know he's amazing, but he is amazing. He is just, he's so forgiving. He's so turned the other cheek and just, I love him so much. He's been a big help on my faith journey as well, and just such a great example as an older brother. So there's some similarities with our story. So we grew up in the church, learning about God, and you know, but it wasn't, we weren't always like around like a big group of young people who like were all like going after it together. It was kind of mostly just our family, and it didn't seem like our friends that we went to school with were all that interested. So we kind of like got into what our friends got into, and I know for me that ended up like taking me farther than I wanted to go. I believe God was setting me up from a young age. He had good plans for me, you know, bringing me to nice schools, different things, and like the prodigal son, I left to, you know, pursue my own passions, to please my friends, to be cool, to build myself up on things that, you know, the movies said were cool, or video games said were cool, or what made my friends like me more, and that ended up bringing me just lower and lower, and on the outside, I might have looked cool to the people around me, but on the inside, it was just hurting me and hurting me. So I brought some of the habits that I learned coming out of high school with me into college. I ended up going to Bethel University, which is a Christian university, and I was surrounded by, you know, a bunch of Christians, and it was just good soil for me. But I brought in with me, I didn't let go of the habits or friends I was with, and instead of focusing and giving my attention to school and the other good things I knew God was calling me towards, I gave a lot of my attention to just different activities, illegal activities with my friends, building up kind of myself around, I'll just say illegal activities. And I ended up doing so poor my freshman year of school. I ended up getting something like 4 F's and a D, and it was just bad. I was working hard, but all in the wrong areas, and I ended up having to leave school. And I was in this pit, just now realizing like what I was given, what I had lost, and just low and getting lower. I was getting in conflicts with my friends, getting attacked by friends. I now owed people money. I was getting threatened to, you know, be killed by, you know, just different people, and just really building myself lower and lower, and getting this conviction on the inside of me, like God pulling me back, just saying, Brandon, like, you can give this up. Like, Brandon, I have more for you. Brandon, you know where I'm leading you. You don't need to be doing, like, what you're doing. And just feeling that strongly in me, but just still, like, visually seeing, like, oh, but the opportunity for money here, or the opportunity to look cool here, or popularity, just was so strong. And finally, like, God did some things in my life that just made it really apparent that, you know, he was around and he was saving me. There were car accidents and there was afflictions on me and different things that God was rescuing me from, that I realized, like, you know, like, God is showing me stuff, like, he's moving in such powerful ways around me, like, why am I not listening? And finally, just breaking out into prayer, looking to God again, and then just seeing, just giving myself just a little bit to God, and then he just moved big mountains for me. Paperwork that seemed like almost impossible, it happened, and God got me back into school at Bethel, and things just started growing from there. I reconnected with God, I repented, and was totally just cleansed and renewed, and just like miraculously just different. I saw people, like Carla said, in a way that I didn't think was possible. There was a love there for God's creation that I didn't have before. And from there, I just kept building. The next semester I was at Bethel, it went from FFFD, like I said, to AAAAB or something like that. And it was all just God's grace. And from there, just being able to share my testimony with people, being able to speak at school, and then going on my first missions trip, and then continuing to grow and fall more and more in love with
Amen.
God.
Amen.
It was just, and now it's just like, I know I owe him everything, and he's just so beautiful to me, and I'm continuing to grow in him. So Thank you, Elon.
Thank you. Yeah. This is Janelle Freeman Anderson. She's been a regular attender here at the church. There's one other person I've said this to, and that's Carl Nelson. When I look at Carl's life, I see what I call the Moses spirit as he leads people, as he leads people. And Janelle, I've said that same word to Janelle as she looks at the city and the county and says, let the homeless go. Break them out of their chains. And she's been a very strong defender of those who are marginalized and those who are in just tremendous need within their lives. Janelle, as I've told all of them, today is about the glory of God and what He has done in our lives. Would you, we are running out of time.
Okay, let me say like I say, I'm Janelle Anderson Freeman Anderson. I've been here since 2013.
Woohoo!
I've been in this church. What brought me here? I mean, what brought me to Christ is that those of y'all don't know that, you know, I was raised by my mom, but I was raised by my granddaddy, and I was raised by my auntie. My granddaddy and my auntie always send us to church. They from down south, from Alabama. They always tell us to go to church, but they could do something bad. But, you know, they send us to church. That was a good thing. One thing is that what brought me closer to God is that when my granddaddy went to jail for beating up his girlfriend and I had to stay in the house when I was 14 years old, watching two of my cousins, because he had custody of my cousins, and I lived with him, we was hungry, and there was no food. And then this is no joke. I ain't never seen my grandma before, because my grandma died when my mom was 9 years old. My grandma, we was in the bedroom, we was hungry, we was mad, we was kids, we couldn't do anything. It appeared out of the closet that my grandma came out of the closet. It's crazy, but that's the truth. She came out the closet and she told us that to go to Pilgrim Church, go down there and tell them the truth. That's where I learned the truth from, tell them the truth. When we went down there and got the food and told them the truth, we got food, and my granddaddy got out of jail, and I told my granddaddy, I said, Granddaddy, this is what happened. And he said, what? He said, you never seen that woman before. What that woman look like? And the pictures of his pictures was buried underneath the bottom of the ground or somewhere. And he would pick them up and he would tell me, he said, did this lady look like it? Did the lady look like it? Did the lady? And I said, yeah, that's a lady. That's a lady. That's a lady. And he fell down. And he said, dang. He said, oh, my God. I said, yeah, Granddad, this will happen. And another story is that when my daughter passed away in 2006, I believe, 2006 or 2007, she passed away. I was crying. I told God, I'm not listening to you no more. You took away my daughter. You took away my baby. You took away my child. And me and Daniel, we rushed to Chicago because he wanted to have a Chicago, because he's from Chicago, so he wanted to have a Chicago, whatever they do, funeral. So we went to Chicago. We went to this McDonald's and, well, we were supposed to go to this other McDonald's, and this was like a mirage to me. We went to this McDonald's. This man was dressed like Moses. He touched on me. He said, your daughter died at 2:45. He said, your daughter died at 2:45. He said, Mary and Mary got her. That's my grandma and his mother. I was like, oh, my God. And he told me, you're strong. He said, God said, you are a strong lady. You know what's going on. He said, you need to get up and pick up and stop crying. So then I stopped crying. I stopped being, and I start reading and start doing things and being faithful to God, not being scared of everything. That's one thing. And like, how I not. How
Janelle, we have to bring it to a close.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I wanted to tell y'all.
Thank you. As we listen to these stories, we are reminded that we are the church. The Titus 2 principle of the older now teaching the younger as we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and teach them the word. I want to close with this scripture from 2 Corinthians 3:3. People of Elam, you are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. May the Lord be blessed by the words from our mouth, but may the Lord be blessed as we live life for Him. Amen.